Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, people. Welcome to the Sports Fiend Show. I am your host, Ian Mackey, and I'm rocking with my main man, my right hand, State himself, R. Vance Owens. R. Vance, say what's up to the people, baby.
What's going on, people? How y'all doing tonight?
Yeah, Vance. It's a big weekend, man. Stay. But, hey, first we got to start off with, hey, Vance, your boy Luke Walton got called down to the principal's office by Magic Johnson. Now, Luke got called. Magic Johnson, they had a real big hoopla about, you know, the state of the Lakers, their record, how they playing defense. Magic Johnson went to please. And I don't think this is Magic Johnson talking. This is Irving talking. Because Irving does not play at all. Everybody loves Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, he smiles. Yeah. He's Showtime. Irving Johnson is Starbucks. Irving Johnson is the theater guy. Irving Johnson is the one that got involved with the Dodgers and got them back and got them back repping and playing well. Well, not so much playing well, but invested in them, invested in the organization, joined an ownership group that got them going again. Irving Johnson joined the Lakers. It ain't Magic. I think people get confused with Magic Johnson and Irving Johnson. See, Luke Walton got called into Irving Johnson's office. And Irving was like, yo, you don't get this together, bro, we're going to let you go. See, Magic is a different person, Vance, and that's what I think people don't get, is that Irving's one person and Magic is TV on-the-court guy. Irving is a businessman. Vance, let me know what you think about Luke Walton getting called down to the principal's office.
I don't care if you call him Magic, Irving, whatever. It ain't Luke Walton's fault that the Lakers are starting out where they're starting out this year. Irving or Magic Johnson built his team. He picked all these players. He picked up these players. This was his players. So it's not Luke Walton's fault that this team is not working out like Magic thought it was or Irving thought it was. I mean, he can't blame Luke Walton for this. I just think, you know, he's just trying to cover up for himself right now. You brought LeBron in.
No, I
don't. You brought Lance Stevenson in. You brought Jason Bellamy in. You brought Rondo in. What do you think?
I would give JaVale McGee credit. He's been playing really well. And I think what Magic was saying and what I've been hearing is that Luke Walton hasn't put in a system on offense or defense where accountability, like if you switch, like teams have like different switches and reads that they go by. And Irving was like, you haven't installed anything, and he wanted to see something installed offensively and defensively, and Luke hasn't done that yet. And I think that's what Irving was really focused on, that you haven't installed no off, like, really they just come down court, they run, hit whoever's open, run, pick, and roll, but they don't have, like, no system, no way of offense, no, it ain't like they run, like, a Princeton style or a flex offense or, you know, some that Utah runs or a triangle. They don't run anything. I think that's what Irving was most upset about, Vance, is that they don't run anything or have any principles on defense. They just say, hey, guard your man. And I think that's what he was trying to get to Luke. Because I'm sure there's a snitch in the Lakers locker room and say, hey, man, he ain't even running no systems. We just saying, guard your man. And there has to be some type of culpability when it comes to Luke Walton. Yeah, Magic put the team together. But you have to have, like, a system in place on offense and in defense, reads and reactions that you go through in order to win games. You just can't throw guys out there and say, hey, we're going to play. And I think that's Magic's thing. Is like, I get that we just got these players, but you should have a system as a coach in place to this is how you run your team. You feel me?
So you think that the Lakers have gone through preseason camps, preseason, and all of this don't have an offense or defense? Come on, man. They play offense and defense.
I'm saying come on, it's basic. It ain't complicated. It ain't complicated. All I'm saying is that it's basic.
It may be basic. It may not. Basketball doesn't have to be complicated. Basketball should be easy. And these players have been playing since they're junior high, high school. They know how to play basketball. They are pros. It's just the team. The team's just not meshing together. That's all I say. I think they've been better off.
That
I ain't think better
coach,
off. Better
that
off in the long
coach.
Run. hey, it falls on the coach, but it falls on the person who put the team together. You knew what you had before, hey. Now you're going to bring these players in.
Listen,
but really
listen,
don't mix and match with the players you already got.
Listen, I understand that you base it on the revenge. I'm telling you, I've watched enough Laker games that Luke Wall look lost sometimes. I'm looking at him, and he don't know what he's doing. You don't probably stay up late enough, but I watch a lot of Laker games, and I'm like, Luke is confused about his rotations, who he wants in there, how he wants to run it. A lot of times they have a call at certain positions, like Josh Hart should be playing more than Caldwell Pope, but they play Caldwell Pope too. They should have a log jam at certain positions, and you can't play everybody. Luke can't appease all the players on the team. Certain players don't have to sit on the bench. Like Michael Beasley now just sits on the bench. So I want to give Luke Walton the benefit of the doubt. I think the Magic said that he's not going to fire him, that he's going to wait. Like, we're going to play this whole season out. But Luke got to show me something. I've seen enough of Luke Walton in the last 2 years to say sometimes he's like a deer in the headlights coaching this team because he don't know. Like, it's cool to coach the Warriors when Steve Curry out because of his back, and you got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and you can win all the games. No, he didn't have Kevin Durant yet. Klay Thompson, that team was already – all you got to do is keep the car straight. Man, that's like you letting me drive your Monte Carlo around on Jackson State campus and say, hey, man, just don't crash it. You're on campus. Just drive it slow. And that's all you had to do as a top assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors. Let's be honest. The top assistant coaches for Golden State has gotten jobs at other places. Like the coach of the Hornets, he was a top assistant coach when they won the first championship. He got the job at New Orleans. He's a good coach. Alvin Gentry can coach offense. Luke Walton, top assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors when Steve Kerr was out. Head coach is out for the Lakers. Because he just kept that car running and didn't crash it while Steve Kerr was out. Now, Magic Johnson, let's be real. Magic Johnson didn't hire Luke Walton. And 9 times out of 10, when a new GM or a new owner comes into a team, you want to hire his own guys and his own people. Luke Walton's part of the old regime. And Magic's like, we're going to see how this goes. But if it don't go how I think it should go, I'm going to get the guy that I feel that should be the GM. And that happens at every organization, man. I don't care if it's football, basketball, hockey. If a new owner, a new GM comes in there, he want to hire his own guy. That's just how it goes.
Well, you can say what you want to about Magic and Luke Walton and Wade Magic don't like Luke Walton or not. But I've known that Jeannie Buss likes Luke Walton. So as long as Jeannie Buss feel like Luke Walton needs to be there, he's going to be there because she's the owner of the team, no matter if Magic's a GM or not. And like I said, once again, Magic brought these players in there. The team was already established. You're saying Josh Hart needs to be playing more minutes. Josh Hart needs to come off the bench to me because they need some scoring off the bench. I mean, Caldwell Pope plays good defense. If when his shot on, he hit. I mean, when it's off, he off. That's every player in the league.
His shot ain't been home.
So
his shot ain't been home all year.
Hey, well, don't pass the ball so much then. All I'm saying is Josh Hart needs to come off the bench, and what I'm saying is Magic built this team the way he thought it should be. He brought in all these old players. He brought in LeBron, which he thought LeBron was just going to change the culture of the Lakers and have them, I don't know, talking about going to the finals. Please, they ain't going nowhere. Eighth best. That's what they're going to be. Eighth best. But, hey, we got a whole year to go. It ain't even Christmas yet. And they already start talking about, you know, come to the office and, like you said, call to a principal office. I just think maybe you take a chill and look at what he did to make this team so sorry. If they are sorry, I don't really think they're sorry. I think they're going to work out.
I don't think they're sorry. I just feel it takes a while for teams people who pay with LeBron in jail. But sometimes I've been watching the Lakers for a while. I'm a Lakers fan, and I'm telling you, sometimes I see Luke Walton, and he looks lost. And if you're a Lakers fan, you've seen Luke Walton.
You just got to look
on what's going
on. Yeah, because he wonder how in the world he's going to coach all these old players. That's
they're
why
so much old. They run. They have one of the highest paces in the NBA. They score the most points in the paint. They just don't defend. And a lot of times, it's attention to detail. And sometimes that comes from the coach. And coaches have to trickle that down. And I am a fan of meticulous coaches. Like, I'm going to give you a story right quick of Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh was so meticulous to detail. And this that not only was he with the players, he was with the secretaries on how to answer the phone for the 49ers. He was with the baggage people on how they packed the equipment when they went on road games. Man, being meticulous to detail has a trickle-down effect. If your coach is that meticulous and that organized and that – It will vibrate. It will translate to the other parts of the team, because if he cares that much, the other players are, oh man, he's gonna pound it in your head that this is how it should go. And a lot of times I don't feel Luke Walton got that. He got the job because he did a good interim job of not crashing the Ferrari that his dad had, and Steve Kerr, aka his dad, gave him the car to drive, and he didn't crash it, so he got the Laker job. It's good, man. You could coach the Warriors, but could you coach the Lakers? It's two different dynamics. Do you want a Nissan or do you want a Ferrari? So I feel like that's the difference. And you know, I know you are outside looking in Lakers, and you don't watch enough Lakers games. But I'm telling you, that's how it is for me right now. But man, we got to move on, man. Man, Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. How'd you feel about that game, man? Tell me your thoughts. What'd you see? What'd you like? What you didn't see? I mean, what you didn't like from the Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady?
I mean, I really think it was an overhyped match, Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you got other players playing. I mean, right now, I think that the Green Bay Packers are not on the level that the Patriots are right now. I mean, so it wasn't an even matchup. I mean, they don't really have a run game, so it's all on Aaron Rodgers. The wide receivers, I mean, you got Adams, he's pretty good. But you got a lot of young wide receivers just cutting their teeth in the NFL. So, right now, I think the Patriots just had a better team. And it showed. The Patriots won the game. Aaron Rodgers, to me, Aaron Rodgers, right at this point in their career, is a better quarterback. But the Patriots had a better team, and the Patriots won the game. That's all it is to me.
I felt the game was overhyped. I felt Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I enjoyed that both quarterbacks gave each other compliments before the game started, I mean, during the week. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't have no help. And I hate when media make, oh, man, Tom Brady outduels Aaron Rodgers. Did Aaron Rodgers have to play defense? Did Aaron Rodgers guys make mistakes? I mean, it was overhyped because – the teams weren't equal. If they were equally talented, and you'll never find games where they're both teams have super great quarterbacks and the teams are equally talented. But it was weirdly different because it looks like the Patriots came, like they were the underdogs. Like they had a chip on their shoulder, like, oh, y'all got Aaron Rodgers, we're going to win this. And Green Bay was like, oh, this is another game. Two different teams, two different coaches, and coaching – when you got two great quarterbacks, coaching and special teams do change games, and that was the difference. I feel like Bill Belichick is a better coach, and he out-schemed Aaron Rodgers in that team, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't have no help. He's by himself, and that was the end of it, man. And I felt the same way you did. It was overhyped. It was Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. And if it was 11-on-11 drill with no pads, I'll take Aaron Rodgers, man. But it was a real game. It got physical with great coaches, and the better team won the game. It's a team game. It is, what, 53 players on the roster? It takes all of that to win the game. It's just a man-on-man, I'm going to guard you, you're going to guard me, or whatever. And that's what didn't happen in the game. And I get the hype and the commercials and trying to build up the money for the game so you can have the commercials and all of that. I get what the NFL did. But it just wasn't that great of a game to me.
I was out of the game. I mean, like I said, it was overhyped, man. I mean, it ain't really too much you can say about it. Overhyped, the best team won. Move on to the next league and see if you can win the next game.
Now, man, the game of the day, I want to move on. Game of the day, Saints versus Rams. And, Van, I still believe in the Rams, man. I believe that the fake field goal, which they did get the first down, I don't care what the review say, I saw Drew reach over the pylon, over the first down, say, before he went out of bounds to get the first down. They missed the field goal. Vance, the Rams are for real. I know the Saints won the game, and the Saints are for real. They only lost one game just like the Saints. I mean, just like the Rams. But the Rams are for real. And sometimes you got to take that loss in order to be great. And I feel like this loss will help the Rams get even better because there was some things that the new coach McVay seen from Sean Payton that he's going to steal. And the Rams didn't run no screens. It was rarely any trickery from their team. And I think they were just playing their hand close. They didn't want to show too much to the Saints. But the Saints brought it all. Drew Brees played well. Michael Thomas is a problem. And I'm just telling you, man, it was a great game. I enjoyed it. But what I got from the loss from the Rams is that they are for real. And that couple things swing their way. The game is going to be different next time when they play the Saints. That's why the Saints brought in Dez Bryant after the game yesterday that he signed with the Saints. So the Saints-Ram game was basically the NFC Championship round one. Round two is going to be really beautiful. So who all saw that game yesterday that enjoyed that, come January, you're going to see that again. That's what I truly believe. Vince, give me your thoughts on the Saints-Ram, man.
First of all, you say the guy got the first down. The referee called and said it wasn't the first down. I'm going to go with the referee. As far as the Saints and Rams, yeah, the Saints and Rams probably are the two best teams in the NFC, barring somebody else coming up. Barring Carolina or somebody else sticking in there and beating one of them, I think they are the two best teams in the NFC. But I think the Rams showed their hand. I mean, you saw what the Rams were. In this game, you saw the Saints. Well, the Saints just had a better team that day. But like you said, if they do make it to the NFC Championship game, I think the Rams, to me, I think the Rams have a better team. And oh, I know the Saints won the game, but I think the Rams would, if they do make it to the NFC Championship game, it would beat them and meet the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. But, now, I ain't going to Super Bowl already, but I truly enjoyed the Saints Rams. So, you know, that was an interesting
game. Well, I'm Super Bowl
ready. And I thought, okay, you Super Bowl ready, but I ain't Super Bowl ready. Vance, we got to do something this week, man. Vance, I heard you hit some money, man. We done gambled. We both gambled. We done hit some money. How do you feel about your bets you played? Do you have any ideas of what you got going on this week? Can you tell me what your college football looks like?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this week I started off good. Tonight I stayed on Pittsburgh. They won. As far as college football, though, man, I'm just going to be honest. It's a game out there that, you know, everybody thinks I'm going to bet on Mississippi State, Alabama. If you feel like I'm going to take Mississippi State, you are wrong. I took Alabama in the game. I would suggest everybody else take Alabama. I wouldn't take the points spread, 23 points, but I would take Alabama. As far as that, yeah, you can really go down the line at the home teams, the team that who's supposed to win, who was picked to win. To me, a lot of them are sure bets. Ohio State. I know you win. I know you picked Mississippi State, and I understand why you picked Mississippi State.
I did a 7-game parlay. I took Ohio State. I took Texas A&M minus 11 against Ole Miss. I took Indiana against Maryland. I took Mississippi State. I took the point, 24 points against one of the best top five defensive teams in the nation. I took the point. I took Rutgers, 39. Hopefully Michigan don't beat them that bad. I took Kentucky minus 6 versus Tennessee Volunteers and Purdue minus 12 versus the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So, you know, those are the teams I took this week. What we're going to try to do as a sports speed show is give you a little bit of give a little gambling, man. You know what I'm saying? But at your own pace. Don't put all your money in there. If you got a little extra, a couple dollars, play a couple dollars. But don't put your whole load in there. That's just a PSA, public service announcement, from the sports speed show. And me and Vance would say, play responsibly. Ain't that right, Vance?
That's right. You better.
Stay responsible.
Like I said, man. I would a lot of teams. Like you said, the Rutgers game, 39 points. You think that Michigan can't beat them by 39? I think Michigan can beat them by 39. I wouldn't take it, but I'm saying it can happen. Mississippi State, Alabama, same thing. Alabama's a 24-point game. I mean, Mississippi State are 24-point underdogs. It can happen, man. I mean, if Mississippi State can't run the ball, Alabama's going to score. And score quick. Because if you can't run the ball and your offense get off the field over and over again, that defense is going to wear down, man. Defense wear down, your defense give up points. And with Alabama, man, they can score just like that. So it's going to be a hard game for them, man. I hope they win. But if I'm betting on them, I'm betting with them.
Listen, my only fear for Mississippi State, and I'm going to say this, State, listen, Fitzgerald cannot, he's thrown 100, almost 200 passes, 197. He's 100 for 197, 252 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 INTs. He's got to quit throwing picks. If he has a shot, he's got to protect the ball and he got to run the ball. They can win this game or to get a shot at winning this game. I'm telling you, this is a trap game for Alabama. Alabama needs to be prepared for State and understand how good Mississippi State is because they got Mississippi State, then the Citadel, then Auburn. Listen, don't fall for the trap after you blasted LSU 29-0. Thinking you're going to play Mississippi State, I think it's going to be the same easy game, and it turned into that trap game where you're fighting for your life. And trust me, if it's 24 points, I want Alabama fighting for your life. I want to win. Well, I'm going with State, man. State, one of the best defenses in the nation. State, going to hold it down. I just don't need State Fitzgerald to throw so many picks in this game. That's all I need. That's all I need out of Fitzgerald. Play smart. Be responsible with the football. Be an adult and handle your business accordingly.
You need ball control. And like I said, if they can run the ball, you will get that ball control. But if you have to put the ball in Fitzgerald's hand and tell him to throw the ball, it's over before halftime. Because they know, man. It's over with.
Yeah. Over with. Vance, you know, my other focus today, I was going with the Warriors. The NBA is the Warriors until further notice. But what I'm noticing that the Raptors are wrong. Even though the NBA is Golden State until further notice, OG and UBA, I hope I'm saying his name right, and Kawhi Leonard, he just caused havoc with their length. They are starting to figure it out defensively. Offensively, I feel like the coach is keeping the same offense that he had when Dwayne Casey was there. He was Dwayne Casey assistant. So he's keeping similar systems involved, but man, defensively with OG and Kawhi and Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas, just defensively, they could just be a different team. And don't forget about Danny Green. Like, they could smother teams defensively. And I think that's what they're working towards. They're 11-1 right now. But fans, the Raptors are going to be legit this year. And I'll be shocked if Kawhi don't stay in the offseason because they look legit. But the NBA is the Warriors until further notice. Until I see teams, and Milwaukee's beating up on them right now. Like, to be honest, Milwaukee is beating up on them 105-79 into the third quarter. We still want to keep you involved in all the games. But, fans, the Warriors are just the cream of the crop. They have the best player, two of the top five in the NBA, some people's opinion. But, fans, the Warriors are real. It's their NBA until further notice. You might as well call it Warriors Basketball Association. Fans, how you feel about the NBA and the state of the Warriors? You have my same similar mindset, you know what I'm saying? What do you feel about the Warriors, the NBA in general, all that, brother?
I mean, outside the Warriors, I think the NBA is a competitive league. You're getting a lot of good new teams that's coming up. You know, Philadelphia is starting to come up. Boston looking pretty good. I mean, you know, you got Minnesota, even though they're in turmoil, I think they're going to be able to work it out. You got teams like Dallas, they're playing pretty good. Their two guards are playing, Smith and Doncic, or whatever his name is, I can't pronounce it. Denver's playing good, but you do have that juggernaut in Golden State. And Golden State, like you said, runs the NBA right now. I mean, like you said, you got two of the top, I would say top eight players in the league right now with Durant and Curry. I mean, they just got a good team. Even the players that you think that wouldn't be good are playing pretty decent. Dante Jones playing good, you know, Bell playing, they play defense. They replace it when they lose somebody, they replace them just like that and keep it rolling. It's going to be hard to beat them. Like you said, they all lose tonight, but that's tonight, man. I mean, you don't expect a team to go 8-2-0. Even if it was a team to do it, it would be the Warriors. But, you know, I know, but I'm just saying, if it was a team to do it, you probably think that team would be able to do it. Toronto is looking good. Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, even Serge Ibaka, it seems like he rejuvenated since Kawhi Leonard's there. He's playing pretty good. But, man, I'm not putting all my eggs in the basket on Toronto because I don't believe in Kyle Lowry in the playoffs. Him and DeRozan had a problem in the playoffs. That's probably why one of the reasons why DeRozan's not there anymore. Maybe he'll work out better. It'll work out better for him in San Antonio. But, man, right now they are playing pretty good basketball. But like I said, it's early, man. We'll see. Like you said, the Bucks, they pretty looking pretty good. Cleveland is terrible. Boston looking pretty good. I mean, you just got some teams out there. Now, I just want to ask you, who is the biggest disappointment to you right now? What team is? Ian?
What did you say?
Hello?
What did you say, man?
Disappointment to you? What's the biggest disappointment to you right now?
I don't find any Washington, but, you know, we discussed that last week. But I'm just done talking about Washington and how bad they are and how they need to blow it up. I'm just over it. Outside of them, there ain't been no disappointment. It's just been a disappointment of a lifetime. Like, you know, you thought somebody was going to be the one and they turned out to be trash. They turned out to be Superhead. It's like, man, why did I marry Superhead? She still loves Lil Wayne and all that. She's still writing books about all the stuff she did on the street. And that's what Washington is. Like, you thought you found you the one and you end up shooting a video vixen and the whole industry has. So, you know, I'm trying not to be as disappointed because I'm a big John Wall fan and I think he's a really top point guard, but he's not acting like it. He's not playing like it. The team's not playing like it. Scott Brooks needs to go, and you're going to get my blood pressure up talking about the Washington Wizards all over again, man. But I don't have no disappointment outside of them. I feel like the NBA is still early and teams still making mistakes, but I feel when I see mistakes early by a certain organization, I have to mark that as a red flag. Like, let's not continue this trend, like with Luke Walton and Mike D'Antoni. They have to figure out a system, things to get them back on track. Like, there's outliers, and there are certain things you just look for, and like, yo, you can't continue this. This is a bad habit. Let's not continue to do this. So, the NBA is still early. We ain't hit the quarter mark of the season, but there are situations that teams need to focus on and get it together.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's still early, man. So, if you know, you got plenty of time to make up for the bad start. But I think it is time to be worried about if you are one of those teams who's not playing well. Like you said, like the Wizards. I know you don't want to harp on the Wizards because they're counting your team on, you know. But I just think they can make it up. And for teams like the Wizards, they can make it. They probably, like you said, probably need to let the coach go or make some trades or something. But I think I don't want to give up on John Wall and Bradley Beal combination, but I think you're ready to see it come to an end. But like I said, Golden State, going to be a hard team to win, beat. I know they're losing tonight, losing pretty bad, 110-85 right now, but they are the team to beat in the league. And as far as your, I just want to go back to as far as your Lakers go, it's going to be a tough year to climb for the Lakers, man. I'm sorry. I know you think LeBron's going to be your savior and everything, but it's not going to happen. Not going to happen this year. Not even going to happen next year.
Listen, LeBron ain't my savior. I've been a Lakers fan before he got there, and I got to take on these LeBron stands. So this is an arranged marriage for the next 4 years. I appreciate LeBron coming to the Lakers. But all in all, I'm going to take this arranged marriage for as long as it can be, because once LeBron leaves, the stands will leave too. So I will just enjoy this run with LeBron. I hope he does great. I hope his TV shows, movies, do everything great. I hope he gives us one championship. Let's hope Kevin Durant comes next season. But until then, man, I'm going to be on vacation, man. I'm in the wedding, man. Let's hope we win some more money on our spread. Vance, we're going to come back next Thursday, stronger and better. I'm not going to be doing this Tuesday, man. I'll be at a wedding. I'll be enjoying my trip. You just chill and relax, all right?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing this show Tuesday. So we'll see you next Thursday, guys. Tell your friends about us, the Sports Fiend Show, your boy R. Vance on Stay, and your boy Ian Mackey, man. We're going to keep it cooking with you guys. We're going to keep stirring the pot. We're going to keep the Sports Fiend Show going. Peace out. Love.